Close. Very close. Out! Manus Labuschagne is gone. A full ball. Pitch, Midland leg.
A lot of pace, but good areas. Gone. Sam Bates continuing her magnificent fall with the ball.
That's bowled him. There's the breakthrough. First one of the morning. And Mitch Swepson picks up a ripper, the fourth. And maybe the first of many. The partnership's broken.
It is a very warm welcome to the sixth edition. I can hardly believe it, the sixth edition, the end of the first over of the Cricket Library Weekly. My name is Matt Ellis, and joining me, as always, Robbie McKinlay.
Hey, Matty, how are you, mate?
I'm up and about. I'm up and about. The Sheffield Shield finishing on Monday was epic, and that was just the finish. The whole storyline in and around the Sheffield Shield was just tremendous. And if you've got a television set, you can probably watch it on there, which is which is incredible. We have, I don't know, we've had these conversations before, Robbie. You used to enjoy it on the ABC. I personally, when I was living at home 20-odd years ago, purchased a C7 sports subscription so that I could watch the Sheffield Shield after work. It's just a great form of cricket, the Sheffield Shield, 4 days, right down to the wire. And importantly for us, being a New South Wales-based program, apologies to all our interstate listeners, New South Wales came out on top against Queensland.
Yeah, what a great game. And, hey, I concur with everything you said about having it back on the TV. I remember growing up on the farm and, yeah, for some reason, Dad was always in around about 4 o'clock that last session to have a late afternoon tea. and then of course, I was inspired to go out in the backyard with him, so with the other brothers. So, but, yeah, what a game. Well, I guess we kick it off with that epic encounter, New South Wales and Queensland. Matty, the other two games looks like the wickets were pretty well batter-friendly. Now, this the wicket at Karen Rolton Oval just had a nice green tinge on it. I always love it when you get a first inning score somewhere between 250 and 300, and that's what happened both times. Queensland made 298, and Manus Labuschagne, of course, a brilliant 117, Jimmy Pearson 66, and then New South Wales bounced back with 283. And I remember making a comment to a friend of mine, said, "Oh, well, that really brings the game into play now," and that's exactly how it turned out, wasn't it? Sean Abbott and Pete Neville with the bat, a couple of half centuries. Got New South Wales up there, and it was just set up for a classic second innings encounter.
Oh, wasn't it, Justin? And New South Wales taking it right down to the wire. Mitchell Swepson. I understand we've got a haiku poem dedicated to Mitch Swepson coming up from our resident cricket librarian. I'm looking forward to that one. Can't reveal too much about it, but 10 wickets for the match. First time, I think, since TV Hones.
For Queensland, a leg sitter.
Yeah, I think so. And interestingly, Trevor Hones, same grade club as Mitch Swepson as well. So Sandgate Redcliffe, we dip our hats to you guys, producing a couple of very well-credentialed leg spinners. And I'm really enjoying watching Mitch Swepson bowl at the moment. So kudos to him. He actually got man of the match honours in a losing side there. And the theatrics of Harry Conway, he had to negotiate 4 deliveries. I've got a massive amount of love for Harry. Not sure if he listens to this podcast, but if you do, HNA Conway, kudos to you. Those 4 deliveries that you negotiated, tremendous stuff indeed.
Matty, that was nothing compared to the theatre. The Fox cameraman and a great coverage from Fox and the boys in the commentary too, outstanding. They were showing Harry while he's waiting to come into bat. He was pacing up and down. He couldn't sit still. He was shuffling his gloves around. He was playing practice shots. And the boys, even though it was quite tense there, the New South Wales boys in the dugout were loving every minute of it. But, yeah, he did. He tried to square drive the first ball he faced, but he got through that. But you know what? I don't think the Blues would have won without a genuine warrior of the New South Wales Blues. Trent Copeland took his 21st 5-wicket haul, 5 for 17 off 18 balls. He's got Manus Labuschagne out twice. He is just He'll go down as one of the great Blues. I think he's moved into sixth in the all-time wicket takers. Oh, Trent Copeland, the man from out the west there.
Bathurst.
Take a bow.
Yeah.
He is a Bathurst boy. He is an absolute beauty. And New South Wales got home. Sean Abbott, again, made 66 in the first innings, a handy 18 not out at the end. Him and Nathan Lyon played a massive role there. And, yeah, well done both teams. Just a classic encounter. Matty, I loved every minute of it. I was guilty of watching the last half hour. I'll own up to my boss. I'll be real.
I was actually parked on the side of the road somewhere in between Forbes and Dubbo, trying to just catch up on where things were up to. I think it was gripping stuff and a great game of Sheffield Shield cricket and plenty more to come. And kind of makes me feel a little bit better about that rugby league game that was played this week, which we won't mention. But anyway, what about the other games, Robbie? Some incredible performances in the other games as well. Do you want to talk us through your highlights from the other two games there?
Yeah, well, I guess we've probably shown our parochialism by going straight to New South Wales Blues win, but it was a pretty big major event happened in the South Australia versus Victoria game. South Australia got knocked over for 200 again in the first innings. They just lost too many wickets. Henry Hunt.
Yeah.
Grenfell. Another boy. Yeah, Grenfell, another boy from the West. He made 50. Harry Nielsen, 40. Wesley Agar, 41. Will Sutherland, one of my faves, 3 for 26. I think they were none for 30 at stumps on day one. And come stumps on day two, there were still no wickets down. And it was Will Pavoski and Marcus Harris who broke the record from 1990, I think it was, the Stephen Mark War over at the Wacker when I think they put on 464, was it, Matty?
Yeah,
that occasion.
Absolutely crunched them. And that was December 1990 at the Wacker Ground in Perth. And
yep.
just a little side note on this one, Robbie. I'm going to hit you with a stat here. Stephen Roger Waugh, after completing 216 not out in that first innings for New South Wales, took the new ball with Jeff Lawson.
He did.
He bowled five overs, one made and none for 18.
No.
Jeff Lawson took the new pill at one end, SR Waugh at the other. So,
goodness me.
Unless it's a misprint on my Cricket New South Wales annual report from 1990-91, it looks like it was Lawson and Waugh opening the bowling and then GRJ Matthews followed by Wayne Cracker-Holsworth. So I don't know what Wayne Holsworth did. Cracker did take the new pill in the second inning. So, yeah.
Well, I reckon the Fremantle doctor was probably in at the time.
Yeah.
And Cracker, Henry would have been captain, no doubt, at the time. He got first preference. And I reckon Cracker said, no, I'm not bowling into the breeze. And I reckon SR Waugh probably got it. But, yeah. But what about that? Go back to Pavoski, 255 not out. Harris, 239. 486 opening run partnership, the highest ever in first-class cricket in Australia. Well done, you boys. You did a fantastic job as the Vics declared at 3 for 564 with a lead of 364 runs.
Yeah, incredible stuff. Marcus Harris has had a bit of a run in the test team, and when he's at his best, he is absolutely incredible up the top of the order there. And we all know the talent that Will Pekowski is, and great to see him out there and notch up a double ton, 255 not out. Phenomenal stuff. I really, really hope that we get to see more of that from Will Pekowski and working under Chris Rogers there as well. The shift there that might just see, the influence of Chris Rogers, the former Australian opening batsman, and he's team that he's coaching in their first hit out of the summer put on 486. That's a pretty good start from CJL.
Yeah. A lot of batting practice was going on in isolation.
Yeah.
But I agree with you, Matty. I like the idea of Chris Rogers being a real steadying hand over Will Pekowski. I hope I hope they just see him don't rush into anything because he just needs to consolidate himself in life as well, which I'm sure he can do. And then, but hey, hats off to the South Aussies. They trailed by 364, and wow, didn't they bat? And they batted and they batted, and they finished at 8 for 384. Travis Head 151. Your boy Henry Hunt 80 off 278 balls.
Oh, stoic.
Again, without him, they would have lost that match. And again, Harry Nielsen chipped in with 43 and Liam Scott 61. Scotty Boland was the star with the ball, Matt. 6 for 61 off 33 overs. And John O'Holland, he bowled 46 overs. It just took the one wicket.
Yeah, no, a really solid performance. Good, great to see Travis Head putting on a big score as well, 151. He was Holland's only wicket, actually. Good to see someone batting in the top four and batting for a long time like Travis Head did there, well supported by Henry Hunt, as we mentioned. And a draw in the end, a game that we will remember for a very long time thanks to that opening stand at the top of the game as well.
And, Matty, that's a good little segue into the next match too, because this one ended up in a draw too, but I thought early on here there was going to be a result. Western Australia got sent into bat. Oh, early trouble, 5 for 64. But then Sean Marsh, who's still just one of the best bats in Australian first-class cricket, he made 115. Josh Inglis with 51. And cousin Nathan, your boy, Nathan Ellis. I said Ellis, if you don't mind. 4 for 76. The Birdman, Jackson Bird, took 3 for 47. But, good comeback there from WA. They probably saved him in the long run, Matty.
Yeah, Cameron Gannon getting some runs at number 10 as well. Known for his bowling, but a half century there at a pretty critical time to get the Western Australians into a fairly solid position. But, gee, didn't Tasmania bat well?
Well, they did, Matty. And I've got quite an amazing stat that I'm going to throw at you at some point very soon. Tasmania did. They bounced back. They made 432. That gave them a lead of 130. Ben McDermott, 90. Matty Wade, 83, which is fantastic for him to keep, sort of keeps him in that middle order, I guess.
And batting at three as well. I like that.
Yeah.
I like seeing him up the order. He obviously won't be batting up the order in the test side, but to see him have that exposure to the tougher conditions up the top of the order is healthy going into a series against India.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Bit of good work from Tasmania's tail enders here too. Otherwise, this game probably would have been about level on the first inning. Their last three batters, Ellis again.
We love Ellis.
We do. He made 41. Pete Tittle, 29, not out at number 10. And Jackson Bird, 39-11. That would have been frustrating for the Western Australian bowlers, who were led by Lance Morris, 5 for 94. But Matt, there's more to this Tasmania innings than just a few 90 odd here and 80 odd there. This does not happen very often. All 11 batsmen made double figures.
Yeah, incredible.
So it's just it's one of those weird. Now,
is that a Robbie Mack stat? Can we say that? That's the Robbie Mack stat of the week, brought to you by insert sponsor's name here. Send us the cash to Matt's mailbag.
Yeah, exactly. But it is. And there's another just a little one. I'm just going to go back here. I love looking at scoreboards. Just going to take you back, Matty, to the New South Wales first innings.
Yeah.
Just back that first game. Nick Lark, so Daniel Hughes got 43.
Yeah.
Number one. Number two, Nick Larkin, 24. Number three, Curtis Patterson, 23. Number four, Moses Henriques, 23. And number five, Daniel Solway, 23. Quite amazing.
That is. They're showing their true Michael Jordan fans.
Yes, or Shane Warne.
Or Shane Warne, Shane Keith.
Yep. They're probably more appropriate for our topic at the moment. But so there you go, Matt. I won't bore you listeners with any more Max stat, but that's just how it panned out.
Yeah, and just on the back of that magnificent Max stat, can I just highlight Jackson Bird's 39 was only off 19 balls?
Was it really?
Four fours and three sixes. That would have been frustrating the life out of the Western Australians, just teeing off deluxe Jackson Bird at the end of that innings. And then WA piled them on again. Oh. Great to see Cameron Bancroft in the runs, Sammy Whiteman runs as well, and then second innings runs for Sean Marsh as well, and Darcy Short a half century. So plenty of positive signs there from the batting department for WA.
Yeah, they did, Matty. And no, your boy Ellis picked up another two wickets, so he got six to the match in that ninth innings of 41. And then West Australia probably, they didn't do too many favours to Tasmania. I think they set them to score 306 for a very unlikely victory. Tassie finished on 2 for 117. And Matt Wade backing up his first innings 83 with 57 not out. And Sean Marsh, man of the match, 115 and 88. He just still keeps throwing his name up there, Matt Ellis. I haven't given up on Sean Marsh yet to play Test cricket again. There you are.
Well, there you go. That's a bold claim.
I refuse to give up on him because he's such a nice batsman. But that's WA on top of the table, Matt. They have played the pre-game just ahead of Queensland and New South Wales, who both played too. Tassie and South Australia lost a little bit early ground, played three matches. Tassie on 6.7 and South Australia and Victoria equal on bottom of the ladder, but the Vics have only played the one game. South Aussies have played two. So we're, plenty more coming up. I'm just loving this Sheffield Shield cricket. It is absolutely fantastic. Next round starts on November 8th, Matt, which is Sunday.
Yeah.
Is it Sunday or Monday?
I think it's Sunday. Yeah, I don't have my cricket library calendar in front of me at the moment, but yeah, I think it is Sunday.
Yeah, you're correct. It is. And I guess that the big game out of that one there for mine is Victoria versus West Australia at Karen Rolton Oval. We saw there was a bit of grass in that wicket. Let's hope there's a result. A few of these sides are going to start looking for results, Matty, so it might be time to show a little bit more flair and a little bit more imagination in and around declarations.
Yeah, looking forward to a few enthralling matches coming up in the Sheffield Shield. Well, time for us to take a quick break. We'll hear that haiku poem. And then after that, Robbie, we've got a special interview with a very promising talent at the Sydney Thunder that you did during the week. So looking forward to hearing a chat with Gabby Sutcliffe coming up on the Cricket Library Weekly. Ten polls for the match. Swepson stocks are rising fast. He gives it a rip.
Well, last Sunday, a dream came true. It happened for a young lady from the Riverina, from Oaklands, when Gabby Sutcliffe made her debut in the Rebel WBBL for Sydney Thunder. And that young lady has joined me now. It's a big welcome to Gabby Sutcliffe. Gabby, how are you?
Good. Thanks for the podcast with you.
Oh, look, we're just so lucky to have you. And you'd be still on cloud nine, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I mean, coming down from it now, obviously heading in next game, but yeah.
Oh, come on, don't give me the old one game at a time trick now, come on. Hey, listen, tell me how it all unfolded. When did you find out you were going to be debuting?
I found out the morning of the game. So yeah, Hannah Darlington unfortunately went down on the game on Saturday after stopping a ball that got whacked back at her. She didn't look too good coming off the field, and I thought I had a little inkling that I was in with a chance, but I wasn't. Didn't want to, you know, get ahead of myself. But then I got the call that night, saying with our coach Trev saying that Hannah is like not too good at the moment, but we'll see how she's in the morning with fitness tests, and if she passes those, she'll be in still. But if she doesn't, then you'll get a game. So yeah, that was pretty cool. But
so. Were you sort of hoping that Hannah's injury might not come up, you know?
No, I thought she actually all right. So I slept so good that night.
Yep.
I thought that she would come up all right, but in the morning I was just getting up, getting ready to go to brekkie, and Trevor called me saying that I was in.
Wow. Hey, and what'd you do then? Just give mum and dad a ring?
Yeah, gave dad a ring, gave the coaches texted yep. some of my friends.
Because I but heard, yeah. Now speaking to Catherine, was I've never seen a lady so excited as Kath. you know, when your coach from an academy, but she tells me that the Riverina Academy girls had a training stint in Wagga and she could not get them back to training in the nets because they're too busy watching you make your debut, which how cool is that?
Yeah, that's so cool. She did tell me that there was academy session on and she was bummed that she couldn't watch the whole game, but it was cool to she sent me a photo of the girls who had there was just a phone and everyone was huddled around each other watching. It's quite nice to see they were watching.
Yeah, because not that long ago they were some of your academy teammates, weren't they?
Yeah, that's the unreal thing, how I was with them a couple months ago and now I'm here.
Oh, that's great. Hey, tell us about the cap presentation. Who did that honour for you?
Yeah, so Jono, my cap to me, Jono Dean, the head coach down at the Eagles. I've done a bit of work with him down in the Apple months now, so that was a pretty cool thing for him to do for me.
Yeah, big thrill for him and a big thrill for, I know, a lot of the coaches down, but Phil Jenkins, and also all the people at the Corowa Cricket Club and the Oaklands.
I haven't had much to the Oakland Club, but I know that Cora's got their new club room and they're asking for photos and everything, so that's cool.
I have heard a whisper that your the photo of Gabby Sutcliffe's going in on the wall at Cora, but the old pool room photo. So no, it doesn't happen every day of the week that you get a play becomes almost play in the WBBL. So
yeah.
Hey, and you didn't, because the Thunder played so well and really thrashed and hit the defending champions, you didn't get a batter or bowl, but you're in the game pretty early in that first over, nearly a run out.
Yeah, legit. I thought that was pretty close there. It would have been cool to get that one, but that's just one of those moments where the adrenaline kicks in. But, so many things went right for us in five overs. It's cool to be a part of and get on the ground.
Yeah, and it must be absolutely brilliant being able to play alongside one of your good friends and a mate for the Academy Days, Rachel, the girl from Wagga.
Yeah, it's cool how we did a lot of our undies together, and then obviously she got into the state system quite early, which is what I aspired to, and now we're in the same team again. So it's kind of, not come full circle, but just come back to that, just reminded me of sort of underage, we're back together and same team, so that's pretty.
Hey, and Gabby, just for a lot of our listeners, tell us how you actually got up to the current bubble where you're playing and how it all unfolded, because it was sort of only, probably wasn't planned, was it? But all of a sudden you got the call up.
No, yeah. So I got a call up probably about 2-3 weeks before I come up here. I got a call from Bothers, the Thunder big boss, and said that they'd like to take me on as a replacement player, and obviously didn't say no. So yeah, then sorted everything up here, obviously replacement players this year because of them being in a hub. So yeah, we get to stay and travel and train with the main squad. And yeah, if someone goes down, we
can. Hey, and as I said, just the one game so far, but even before that, the learning curve that you've been going through, taking to some of the legend world game, playing in your same side.
Yeah, so we've got heaps of good players this season, the Thunder, and I've got heaps of insight just sitting through bowling, discussing plans and all that. And at training out as well, it's pretty good. Everyone's so really helpful and willing to help out and any questions that I've got about different types of balls and, you know, fields and technique sort of stuff. So that's really insightful. And yeah, just being around some of the big dogs like Sammy Joe, Shabnib, Ray Chains, Heather Knight and Tammy Beaumont, that's just heaps.
And what about someone like Heather Knight and Rachel Haynes, Sammy Joe, they're batting on Saturday, the day before you debuted. That was just some of the best batting we've seen.
They just took the ball wherever they wanted to put the ball. It was so good to watch. Unreal.
No, fantastic. Hey, Gab, just go back a little bit in your early days. Who are some of the coaches that have had the most throughout your particularly, you know, through that sort of once you started PWSA and into high school and the academies?
Yeah, well, probably like notable probably would be like Phil Jenkins, who I've been like working with the academy since I was quite young, like probably 12 or something. So he's been real helpful. And Kath as well, just come in a coaching role at the academy for the last couple of years, but has still been really helpful with my game. With nationals, I quite like Troy McKinnon. He's got really good insight and just, I don't know, I guess he was my game sort of on a mental side, just on that pause, like being and all that. But also my dad has thrown about countless in the nets. So Can't not give him a mention.
Did Dad have a cricket net set up on the farm out at Oaklands?
He built one, yeah, for have a bowl in and stuff, so that was quite cool, yeah.
Oh, good
stuff. He actually did.
I hope he's able to become a tax doctor. Hey, tell us about your first game of cricket. Where did that all happen?
This game actually happened at a representative carnival where I tried out for Verena PWSA to get a day off school and ended up being the 12th person pick. So on a knife set and I got into the team, and that was at Lismore. That carnival was at Lismore. And the thing about that carnival was actually that I don't even like cricket at that stage. Like I just want about days. But after the carnival, obviously through that year, something I don't know what happened, but something happened and we go back to it. So that's quite cool.
Well, I'm actually glad that Lismore didn't burn you. So yeah. And then, of course, you progressed in, you played junior cricket under 14s out at Oaklands. And then, of course, high school cricket. You had some good mentors too at Cora High School. Deb Filippone and the like, always encouraging you to play sport, I guess.
Yeah, she was on to me about pretty much any sport that could be played. But, yeah, definitely get in touch with the people, with Nathan Brooks, who was the coach of the Riverina CHS side in that time.
Now, you better tell us, what's life like in the bubble? We're hearing things like some real fun activities and, do you just pinch yourself at sometimes thinking, oh, my God, look, there goes, you know, there's probably Stefani Taylor there, or they look over here, there's Laura Wolvart there, or, you know, Sophie Devine. It just must be amazing for a young kid from down in the south of New South Wales in Corowa.
Mm-hmm. The bubble's really good work to make sure it's like, and they've set up heaps of activities like the put on heaps of movies, have the golf simulator out with was broken on about this night.
Good,
someone smashed the screen. And I'm pretty happy about the free coffee and smoothies that we get. But yeah, it was quite cool. On about the second day, I got in an elevator with Cap and Dana Kirk, and like, oh my gosh!
Did they recognise you?
No, don't think so. But yeah, it's living amongst the best. Can see them around. You definitely wouldn't get that in Corowa.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what's on after post WBBL? What's next? I know you've been, as you said, doing some work within the New South Wales Country AC squads. What's the plan play-wise after WBBL's done and done?
Just go back to training. The Meteors back in Canberra, because I've gone on as a training partner with them, and play some club cricket maybe up in Sydney. I'm not too sure about what cricket yet. I'm just focusing on pretty much this experience at the moment. I'll figure that out later. But, just go back in with the AC. Just keep training as the national championships with the country squad, and hopefully that still goes ahead.
And, of course, speaking of the Thunder, you've made a start. Despite the rain, you guys have made a brilliant start and have find yourself on top of the ladder after last weekend.
Yeah, the rain is around with only a couple of game and really a half being played. It's cool for the ladder early on. We've a good squad and everyone's performing well, so reward, isn't it?
It is. Happy days. All right, Gabby, we'll let you go. Thank you for the time. And again, I know said that, you know, the people back home down in Cora and Oakland and everyone involved in Riverina Cricket and AC2, proud of you. May there be many more appearances to come, and we look forward to catching you in action very soon. Well done.
Hopefully. Thank you, Robbie.
Absolute pleasure. There you go. Gabby Sutcliffe, who made her debut for the Thunder in the Rebel WBBL edition last Sunday.
Oh, what a great chat that was with one of the rising stars of the WBBL. Thank you, Robbie McKinlay, for taking the time to do that. And massive thanks to Gabby Sutcliffe for joining the Cricket Library Weekly family and being a part of the show. It's a great, great young talent, and looking forward to seeing where her career goes.
Yeah, a lovely young girl originally from Oaklands, which is not far from Cora on the Murray River. And, just a great kid. She's just got a delightful attitude, and she's absolutely loving all things Sydney Thunder and the Rebel WBBL at the moment.
Oh, how good's the Rebel WBBL going, Robbie? And how good's the ladder looking? I'm quite liking the ladder.
It's looking great.
Can you actually just run us through the ladder, just in case? Have you got it there by chance?
I have.
Oh, that's
good. I'd love to.
Yeah, okay.
Look, leading the way are the two New South Wales franchises. Sydney Thunder on top, just on a net run rate, Matt, which could come in handy. They lead the Sixers, both with 3 wins and 2 no-results. So yep. They both haven't lost the match yet. And then not too far behind, oh, I've been impressed what I've seen from the Melbourne Stars so far. Very same situation, Matt, except they haven't lost a game either. Won 2 matches but had 3 no-results. Just really, very impressed with that side. I had a chance to look at them. And then the Brisbane Heat, Perth Scorchers, and the Hobart Hurricanes are all level on 4 points. And the Strikers in 7th place on 3 wins, and the Renegades just for 2 points there. Haven't won a game yet. Just days, Matty, I think the Gades have got a bit of work to do here. Their net run rate's not very strong either. But I like the look of the top three at the moment, but things can change in a hurry in this comp. There's only 5 matches out of 14. It's still not. Each side's got 9 games to go.
Yeah.
So plenty of fluctuations ahead.
Oh, you can expect some fluctuations. Hence why I've asked you to read out the ladder as it stands at the moment, Robbie, because I know that maybe in episode 7 of the Cricket Library Weekly, it may not be looking as glorious as it does now. So, and now some key performers for you, Robbie. Who have been the players that have caught your eye? You've been doing commentary, of course, up in Sydney, and you've got some games coming up this weekend. But who are the players that you've liked the look of so far?
Well, Guess Who's Back by Robbie Mack. I'll tell you who is, and it is fantastic. Elise Villani.
Oh, yes.
Her ball striking on the weekend was just exceptional. She's going along so well, which is great to see. That top three that they've got there, Meg Lanning, Villani, and Mignon Dupree.
Yeah.
They're just playing with so much freedom. They've got the bowling attack to back it up. Yeah, so I'm loving it. And Nat Siver's been absolutely fantastic too with 6 wickets. So, yeah, they're doing really well, the Stars. But, yeah, so good to see Elise Villani back in the form. That's made her such a good player. And, I think she's in for a big year, thriving under the Trent Woodhill coaching by looking for me.
Yeah, she is looking good. And hasn't Catherine Brunt slotted into that side quite nicely as well? She's a key overseas signing as well for the Melbourne Stars. There's a lot to like about the Melbourne Stars at the moment. The Strikers have slipped a little bit after a really good start to the season, but Laura Wolvart again showing her class in the game they lost against the Stars, 68 for her off 50 balls. She is a player that we certainly have got big raps on.
Yeah, beautiful player, Matty. In fact, she is the second leading run scorer in the Rebel WBBL on 142 runs, just Heather Knight ahead of her on 146. But, I just love watching a bat go that nice wide stance. Always looking to get that full place to the bat on the ball. And if it's nice and full, it feels very comfortable hitting through the onside, which is always a sign of a very good player. That anyone can play between mid-on and mid-wicket and race that ball along the deck, and has the ability to lock the ball if required. Very, very impressive. And the other girl, of course, you mentioned there. What about Heather Knight, Matt?
Oh, what a signing.
Well, leading run score of 146, but has also tipped in with 6 wickets to equal with Sarah Coyte, Nat Siver on 6, just behind Sam Bates, who's the leading wicket taker on 7.
Yeah, well, Sam Bates, left-arm orthodox, bowling at the top of the innings in the power play, doing a tremendous job. I think Talia Wilson, 3 stumpings off a bowling that I can think of. There might have been others, but the 3 stumpings there and just doing a job for the Thunder, Sam Bates.
Yeah, and also, Matt, not only is she leading the wicket, she's also the most economical bowler as well. So, like, the thing is, the other day, against the Perth Scorchers, who are an outstanding team, 4 overs, 3 for 9. It was just incredible. And it's great to see because we just a real hard work in the game. It has experienced cricket life at grassroots level. You know, she's worked in community cricket.
Yeah.
You know, has really developed the game. She's just a fantastic contributor to the game, and really love seeing her have a lot of success at the moment. And her, like her son, the teammates, are just flying along at the moment. Of course, Rachel Haynes, her good form just continues. Her and Heather Knight got them out of a bit of a spot of bother there against the Scorchers. They lost three early wickets, 3 for 22. Sammy Jo Johnson had gone, but then Haynes and Heather Knight, they put on 108 runs for that fourth wicket partnership. And then, the bowlers backed it up. But yeah, Rach Haynes, 61 not out or 51 balls, 3 fours and 3 sixes.
Yeah, she is hitting the ball as well as I've seen her hit it for quite a long time, Rachel Haynes, bringing some of that form out of the international series back to the WBBL. A very correct. Impressive cricketer. And I also feel like Sammy Jo Johnson is one of the key signings of the tournament as well. Her performance in the game on Saturday against the Strikers, where she just teed off and went berserk. I think she hit 26 runs off and over. Just hit them so clean. And that'll come off some days, other days it won't. It didn't come off against the Scorchers there, but a high-quality signing, bowling at key times as well. So a lot to like there. A young spinner bowling from the Hurricanes, you got to see her firsthand, Robbie. Young Amy Smith. What was your feedback on Amy Smith?
Yeah, I really liked what I saw there, Matty. She's a local Tasmanian girl and just bowled with really good control early days. The ball got a little bit wet after that. She was a bit unlucky. She bowled a beautiful first over, great line, and then the next over in from the other end, the ball, I think Meg Lanning was batting at the time.
Oh, yeah.
And Villani, and the ball ran along the ground quite a lot. And then, yeah, I really fell for Amy Smith. The next ball, really had trouble gripping it. But a wonderful talent, a lot of potential there, no doubt about it. Hey, Matty, I'm just wondering. I got a hats off there to the curators and the ground staff at Drummoyne Oval on the weekend. I reckon on the Saturday and Sunday alone, if they didn't take the covers on and off over 20 times, I'll give it away. They worked tirelessly, but they just we got a couple of results in, but yeah. A couple missed out too, but it was good to see the Canes bounce back with a victory a couple of days after that heavy loss to the Stars because it sort of kept their season alive. Belinda Vakawira has been really impressive, bowling pretty quick at times, but I think they're just going to get a little... If I can get Rachel Priest to find a bit of form at the top of that order, Nicola Carey showing a lot of promise, I think the key to them... Zellenberg and Priest at the top of the order, if they can just see out a few more overs. And look, even Matty, even if after four overs, you know, they're only around that four and over mark, I think it'll be well worth it. They can't afford to have both of those batters out in that first, five overs. So, but they'll learn. The only trouble is, at the moment, games are happening so quick, you've got to move on quickly to the next game and probably haven't got as much time to analyse. But then again, that's not a bad thing either. But there's a little bit... Chloe Tryon is good down in that middle of the order. Like I said, Nicola Carey's had a pretty good season, but just need to do a little bit more at that top of the order.
Yeah, and Brisbane Heat, Jess Jonathan's done a great job in the captaincy role there, picking up wickets as well. I thought Nicola Hancock's bowling was impressive in that game against the Sixers also. But, gee, the Sixers, they're just wall-to-wall talents. They... don't have many weak spots, if any weak spots that I can spot really at the moment. They look very, very good on paper, the Sydney Sixers, and you expect them to keep performing the way they have been.
Yeah, you look at Alyssa Healy at the top of the order. Hasn't been a flood of runs like we've seen before, but, Matt, what she does so well, her strike rate this season in the Rebel WBBL is 185.9, So it just shows that she will get you off to a flyer. And, it's worth the weight in gold. I reckon one thing I have probably noticed this year, some of the sides have probably struggled to get away to a flying start at the top of the order and losing too many wickets. Whereas I reckon,
You know, it's the role, isn't it, that Healy plays. He's got that ticket to ride, you know. Like the other day, the game against Pete, only got 13, but off 7 balls. So, and when you've got Elise Perry batting with her, you know, 54 balls, Marizan Kapp, you know, Ash Gardner, she can afford to play that role. You've still got Aaron Byrne, Dane Van Niekerk. It's a very good side. So, yeah, and just love the way Healy goes about it. Always an entertainer. She's born to entertain, that girl, and entertain she does.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And some games coming up, Robbie. You'll be down there calling some of the action over the weekend. I think you're down at Hurstville Oval for the Renegades v Thunder on Saturday afternoon. Is that correct?
Correct, mate. If I spend any more time there, I think I'll be voting in the next Shire election up in around the St. George area and probably vote in Balmain as well. But no, look, it's a good eyeing off those. There's a big game between Brisbane Heat and Adelaide Strikers too at North Sydney Oval, Matty.
Yep.
The loser of that game is just going to just be under the pressure a little bit. I expect Sydney Thunder should defeat the Melbourne Renegades, as should the Sixers, also at North Sydney Oval. That's North Sydney Oval. That's the second game at 3:40.
Yep.
They take on the Hobart Hurricanes. And then the game I'm really looking forward to. Melbourne Stars versus Perth Scorchers, 7:05 local time. You can catch that on Foxtel as well, Channel 7, ABC, KO. You can't miss it. This one will be an absolute beauty. There's stars everywhere in this game. It's hard to go past the Melbourne Stars at the moment, Matty.
Yeah,
I'm really loving what I'm seeing out of them.
Yeah, I think the Scorchers are that on paper. Everything says the Scorchers are top four written all over them, but we haven't seen the best of them yet, and Melbourne Stars haven't put a foot wrong. That is going to be an absolute barn burner, Robbie McKinlay. Yeah. That is my barn burner of the weekend, that one. Looking forward to that. Then on the Sunday, we've got Hurricanes v Thunder, Hurstville Oval, Renegades v Strikers at the North Sydney Oval, number one. As well, and Brisbane Heat v Melbourne Stars. That should be another good game also there. And then the second barn burner of the weekend, the Sixers v the Scorchers as well. So lock these in your calendar.
I was going to say, you might have loaded your hay a bit early for this barn burner.
Well, it's been a good harvest so far, I'm hearing around the traps. So.
Well, what about the weekend ahead for the Perth Scorchers? They take on the Melbourne Stars to kick the proceedings off, and then they finish it off out of Hurstville Oval. I'll be out at that one. The first time I'll see the Sixers for the season, taking on the Perth Scorchers. Oh, Matty, I'm pretty excited. I'm absolutely loving the action in the Rebel WBBL, but I think this weekend's just about going to send me into fever pitch material.
Yeah, it's incredible stuff, and I'm thoroughly enjoying it myself. But hey, guess what, Robbie? We are out of time. That means, unfortunately, the bag of mail you've got there will have to wait for next week. Just a reminder, listeners, we have a segment normally called Matt's Mailbag, 101R Bungle Gumby Road, Burrabideen, if you'd like to send us a postcard with a question. We've run out of time to do it tonight on the show, so we've got a bit of a backlog there in the mail room.
Yeah.
But looking forward to doing that next week. Robbie, have a great trip down to Sydney again. Looking forward to hearing your expert comments with Renee Farrell, who was our recent guest on the Cricket Library podcast. She has a very good story to hear, so I'd encourage you all to go and have a listen to that between now and the weekend action. Safe travels, Robbie. Thanks again, mate. Thanks to Gabby Sutcliffe for joining us and becoming part of the Cricket Library family. Wishing her the best for the WBBL. And a massive thanks to all of our listeners. We love each and every one of you. Thanks so much for tuning in. Once again, this has been Matt Ellis and Robbie McKinlay for the Cricket Library Weekly. Bye for now.